When you pray for us tonight, Joshua chapter number 24, if you found your place and you're physically able, I would ask you to stand for the reading, the reverence of the Word of God. Joshua chapter 24. The Bible says in verse number 14 tonight, "Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up out of brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God." And Joshua said unto the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good." And the people said unto Joshua, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." And Joshua said unto the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve Him." And they said, "We are witnesses. Now therefore put away," said he, "the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel." And the people said unto Joshua, "The Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak. That was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which He spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest you deny your God." And so Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. Amen. You may be seated tonight. As we came into the text of the Scripture tonight in Joshua chapter number 24, in verse number 15, or 14 through verse number 28, we see that Joshua is speaking to the children of Israel. And tonight you can mark her down that, Brother Robert, these were in the later days of Joshua's life. His life was about to be ended, and Joshua is standing before the children of Israel. And boy, what a great challenge that he put before the children of Israel. And he asked them whom they would serve, and he sought out that they would seek God. And boy, I say this to you tonight, there's a lot of people who says they'll serve God. And there's a lot of folks that says, "Boy, if God, if you'll save me, I'll do whatever you want me to do." When that time comes, boy, you can't find them in the house of God. And I'll say this to you tonight, boy, it is good to be saved, and I thank God for being saved, but I'll say this to you tonight, if the only thing I got saved for was to die and go to hell, I'm not doing God any service for His love. And boy, I thank God that He saved me, that I'm not going to hell. But Brother Odin, because He done that, there's something on the inside of me that wants to do something for God and wants to do something for His presence and to show God that I appreciate Him. I realize tonight we use the book of Isaiah that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. And boy, we use that to cover ourselves. And we use that thought for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God every day to cover ourselves and to make ourselves feel better. And Joshua was setting a challenge before the people. He was bringing them into a serious note. I'll say this to you tonight. There's enough people that have played church long enough that it disgusts me tonight. I don't know about you, but boy, you see them come and boy, they want to do this and they want to do that and they want to really get serious about God. But when the time comes, Brother Odin, they flake out and they fall away. And I'll say this to you tonight. I was telling Dad in my office tonight before we come out, we were talking about preachers, and I said, it's kind of like Brother Joe Arthur said. He said there was a young preacher with him and said he wanted to go wherever Brother Joe wanted to go. And he said, every revival. Now you got to understand, Brother Joe is Brother Bud Wishon's son-in-law. And Brother Joe is booked 52 weeks out of the year. I mean, boy, he's right now, he's got over a three-year waiting calendar to get booked in a church. If we was to call him, it would be 3 years from now before we could get him. And God's used him immensely. And this young man was a preacher, and he wanted to learn Brother Joe. He wanted to go with Brother Joe. Brother Joe said, okay, go with him. And said Brother Joe said, I don't mind him touching my stuff. Said he was going through my Bible. And said this young man got to his schedule and he was flipping. And said he made some comments about it. Yuck and oh. He said, what's wrong? And said the young man replied, I wouldn't want every day of my life planned out that I was going to be here or I was going to be there. And said Brother Joe said that he said yuck over what his schedule was. He said the devil made him do it. But Brother Chuck, he said, look, that young man, he said, I've heard you preach. And he said, I've seen how faithful you are to the house of God. He said, I got one thing to say to you. You ain't got to worry about God booking your schedule up. He said, what do you mean? He says, you don't come up. He said, you come on Sunday morning. He said, you won't come back on, or you might come back on Sunday night if you wake up from your nap. And he says, you're not going to come on Wednesday night. Boy, Brother Rusty, you heard that comment in the same message I did. And boy, I tell you this, tonight we can look around and we can say, boy, there's some people that really need to get serious about God. I agree tonight that there are some folks, Brother Odin, boy, what they could do for God if they got serious about it. And Joshua challenged the people of Israel. In verse number 14, he says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Joshua issued a challenge to the people. He said, choose this day. He said, you figure out what side you're going to sit on. Can I say to you tonight, there's a lot of Baptists need to figure out where they're going to sit at. Whether they're going to sit on the ball game side, whether they're going to sit in the house of God. They need to figure out whether they're going to make an excuse to miss the house of God or whether they're going to be faithful to God. I'll say this to you. It takes courage. Listen to me. It takes courage in the year 2018 to serve the Lord. It takes it. It takes something deep within. There has got to be a desire. I cannot understand. Listen to me. I cannot understand how somebody can get saved and not want to go to church. I can't understand it. And Joshua told him, he said, choose. Now I want you to think about this, Brother Chuck. They were over 2 million children of Israel. And this feeble old man, Dad, stands up before them and he says, you better choose who you're going to serve. And I'll say this as a preacher tonight. We as a church need to figure out who we're going to serve. Now I realize we're not packed out tonight, but I'll say this. We need to figure out who we're going to serve. Now listen to me. I'm not here to serve you tonight. I am a minister of the Word, and I am here to preach, but my ultimate duty, Dad, is to God and His service. Your ultimate duty tonight is not to Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle, Brother Robert. It is not to Brother Josh and doing this and that for Brother Josh. Ty, it's not what you do for me. It's not what you do for Brother Joe. It is what you do for God. See, a lot of people have got the misconception that it's the preacher. Then we got to do this because the preacher said so. Or we got to do this because the preacher wants us to. No, you ought to do it because God wants you to do it. People says, well, I better go to church and or he'll preach a message on faithfulness. Well, you might need to hear it. But I'll say this, there's too many that just hear it and not doers of the Word. There's too many that simply hear what the Word says. And boy, these children of Israel, they said, we'll serve God. We'll serve God. Brother Robert, they said, we'll serve God. We'll forget about those other idols. We'll forget about the gods here in the Amorites, and we'll serve Him. Notice what Joshua said in verse number 19. He said, and Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord. Well, that preacher, he's so mean and so discouraging. He told me I couldn't serve the Lord. Brother Robert, he told me that he just challenged me, and I said, I want to serve God. And he just said, I can't serve Him. But he gives an explanation. He said, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. Verse number 20, He says this, if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good. Now I'll say this tonight, we're going to move on with the message. I believe tonight there's a lot of saved people left this life early because they walked away from God. I truly believe that. Joshua records it. He says, if you forsake Him, he said, the God that's done good is the God that'll bring hurt. I'll say this to you. Boy, Daddy whooped me. I thought he was killing me, Brother Kenny. I deserve so many, many more. But do you realize tonight I have learned as a father, the reason I punish my child is because I love her. Do you realize tonight the reason that God chastises His children is because He loves them? And can I say to you tonight, if I did not care about my daughter, I would not care where she's at. I would not care what she's doing. Brother Robert, when she got hurt, I would not care to hear her cry. But I'll say this to you tonight, as a father to that little girl, I care about what she's doing. I don't want her to grow up and be a harlot. I don't want her to grow up and to live in this world. And the reason that I discipline my child is because I love her. Do you realize tonight that there's going to come a time in her life that either, listen to me, she's going to say, Daddy, you've been so mean and I'm going to do my own thing. Or she'll say, Daddy, I thank you for what you taught me and keeping me from making those decisions. Can I say to you tonight, they are children of God, listen to me, that have got the chastising hand. Boy, they say, I've got bad luck. This is happening. That's happening. Oh, God might be trying to get their attention. Do you know that? And Joshua said, if you walk away from Him, he said, the same God that's done good is the same God that'll bring hurt. Notice this. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said, all right. You said it, so here's what we're going to do. You're witnesses against yourself. And can I say this to you tonight? It's not my place. Listen to me. And Joshua had a good understanding of this. It was not his place to speak for the people. A lot of people, listen to me. I've got text messages. I've got phone calls. I showed Daddy some of their. Listen to me. I've not had a great day. Rusty, it ain't been wonderful. I mean, we had a pretty good day at work, and this morning didn't start off good at all. I mean, when you go down and your water heater's spraying water, it's not a good day. Listen to me, I'm not a plumber. God didn't design me to be a plumber. You know how I knew I wasn't a plumber? Because I pulled my pants up. I can't stand for my shirt to get untucked. Some of y'all will catch that when the train comes by about 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't like plumbing. I went to Lowe's and got the stuff and was going to come home from work and fix it. And I come home and worked on it. I didn't have just the right stuff, so I went back and got it. And we got it all back together, and I was going to go take a shower, and guess what? There's another leak. You say, what happened? I got ready. Brother Chuck, I let the hot water run. I got me a shower. I said, you know what? It ain't going to hurt now. And I got me a shower, and I got ready, and I hurried to Lowe's so I could get the other fitting so I could come to church and go home and fix. How many tonight would have said, you know what, I can't get my water heater fixed. I just can't go to church. How many people do you think tonight would have done that? I've got a leak, and I better stay home. Listen to me. God wants to know where your priorities are. And here's what I find amazing. This is what I find amazing. Is people text me or tell me they're not coming. And I understand that when something comes up and I'm praying for them and I understand that we're sick, but listen to me. It's almost like sometimes they've got to get an okay from the preacher to stay out. Do you know that? It's almost like they want the preacher to say, it's okay. But I'll say this. I'm not standing to talk before you. Listen to me. When your time and your business comes with God, you're a witness of yourself. That's what Joshua was telling. He said, look, you're witnesses to yourselves. And he said, I tell you what. He said, we're going to set a stone up here. That rock really heard everything it said. You know what? That told me that Joshua thought they were Baptists. He got a rock. He said, this is a covenant. And he says, listen, this is, we're going to set this here as a reminder. And we're going to put it by the oak tree. And this is going to remind you by the sanctuary of the covenant you've made. And the Bible teaches us that he sent them out into their areas. You know what he said? He says, you've got to do it every single day. Now, how could Joshua be a mountain mover? We're here at the end of Joshua's life. Notice in verse number 29. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-serah, which is the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. And then it goes on to tell us about Joseph, them taking the bones out. But you know what's amazing and what happens? Joshua dies off. There's a generation that dies off. And all the ones that knew the works of God died off. You know what's sad? You can go over in the book of Judges, and the children of Israel went back to their wicked ways. Let me tell you what's sad. Is we're seeing the same thing in our churches today. We're seeing a generation that's seen God move through revivals years ago. We're seeing a generation die out. Listen to me. We're seeing a generation die out, and we're seeing a generation turning from God. Everything else is more important. What makes Joshua a mountain mover? I love the name Joshua, by the way. One of my favorite names in the Bible. And we'll give you this, and we're going to go through it quickly tonight. What makes Joshua a mountain mover? Joshua is first mentioned, listen to me, you'll first find his name in the book of Exodus, chapter 17. He was mentioned in the battle with Amalekite, where he led the forces of Israel in Exodus chapter number 17. The Bible then goes on to teach us in Numbers chapter number 14, chapter 13, and chapter 14 that Joshua was one of the spies. He went out with Caleb. Out of the 12 spies that returned, Joshua and Caleb are the only two that gave a report they could have the land. The other 10, listen to me, the other 10 gave a false report that they could not conquer the land. What else would make Joshua a mountain mover? In Numbers chapter number 27, Moses divinely appointed Joshua as the leader of Israel. He was God's man chosen. There were three things that happened early in the book of Joshua. When Joshua takes over leadership of the children of Israel, you'll see three things happens. Number one, you'll see the River Jordan stands up, allowing them to cross over. Number two, you'll see the angel of God appearing to Joshua outside the city walls of Jericho to give him a direct report. Listen to me, to give a direct report of how to conquer Jericho. Number three, not only does God appear to Joshua, but Joshua conquers Jericho by following God. How did he conquer him? He marched around the city. How did he march around the city on the last time that they marched? The children of Israel on that last day gave a great shout, and the walls fell of Jericho. Three things that Joshua accomplished. Joshua failed once in chapter number 7. Joshua reversed on the land that he was conquering. He reversed on it. And I'll say this to you this morning. Joshua from that moment on decided, you know what? I'll do exactly what God says, how God wants me to do it, and I will follow God. Joshua, listen, notice this. Joshua dethroned 31 kings at one time. And we're going to flip over there in just a minute. Joshua called for the kings, five kings, to come out of the cave. He told the army of Israel, he said, to put your feet on their necks. Joshua wholly followed God. God gave Joshua great victories. In Joshua's last days, listen to me, in Joshua's last days, he did not waver in his faith. He did not waver in his standing. He did not waver, Brother Odin, in his thoughts. Joshua's last days, he still challenged the children of Israel. He stayed faithful. What could we say about Joshua's life tonight? Point number one, Joshua's victory was won by faith. How was Joshua a mountain mover? Joshua was a mountain mover simply because he believed wholly in God. If you want to be a mountain mover, if Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle is ever going to be a mountain mover, we are going to have to settle some things up front. We are going to have to reassure ourselves that we're going to have to see some people get serious about some things. Listen to me, I appreciate the congregation is here, but I look around tonight and I see that so many are not here and they are constantly struggling, they're constantly battling, and they don't ever seem to have the victory. It's because they've not settled that they'll serve God. I'll say this to you tonight as your pastor. I am settled. Listen to me. I will serve God. I've had people get upset about what I preach. I have been accused of things that in a message. Listen, I'll say this to you boldly tonight. I have been accused, listen, that I was picking on somebody out of a message. I have been accused that I heard something and I brought it to the pulpit and I preached it. And I'll say this to you on the last occasion. I could not understand why they got so upset. But I preached a message led of God through my study, through my prayer life. And I find out weeks later that I called their sin out right before the church. And you say, what happened? As your pastor, I say this to you tonight. I'm not going to preach on something to pick on somebody. I'm not going to preach on something, Brother Odin, because it's what I think would be right. I'm not going to preach on something unless God settles my heart. You say, why is that? Because I'm not here to serve man. I am here to serve a holy God. And listen to me, if the plow drops in your tater patch and, honey, it rolls the rocks out, that's between you and God. I don't want to know what you've done. I want to know whom I serve and whom I am believed in. And I'll say this. I'll preach what God says before I preach what man says. We need men and women that are serving God. Can I say this to you? Joshua was settled in his faith. Not only that, can I say to you tonight, what is so amazing about Joshua is even in his whole life, Brother Kenny, he remained faithful to God. You know what he could have said? Joshua could have said when the spies came in numbers, when 10 of them disagreed with he and Caleb, he could have threw his hands up and quit and says, well, they can just have it. They can just do whatever they want to do. You know what? Joshua could have said, God, here I have been faithful. Here I have served you. And you're going to punish me like the rest of them? I think not. You know what Joshua did? He put his head down. He stayed faithful to God even in the wilderness. He stayed faithful even when the people rebelled. He stayed faithful even when the people moaned and groaned and cried because nothing was going their way. Not one time did he bicker about God. Not one time in Scripture will you find him bickering about the other 10. He kept his eyes on the prize and he said, I'll stay faithful. Nay, when the tough times come, I'll stay with God. When everybody else is going down, I'm still going up. When everybody else is complaining, I'll still serve him. I'll still be faithful. And when things ain't going my way, I'll stay with God. You know what? We've got too many sunny day Christians. They only want to serve him when everything's going their way. Can I say this to you, Brother Kenny? I don't need him just on the sunny days. I need him in the rainy times. Listen to me. When things ain't feeling right, listen to me. When I feel my greatest, I need him. But when I feel my worst, I still need him. And can I say this to you? On the worst day of my life, Brother Rusty, he's still been a good God. Hey, when things ain't going right, I can still look up to heaven and say I love him. Hey, when things ain't going fair, listen to me. When I'm fighting a water leak at home and the devil's in those pipes and I know he is because Melvin sent him over there. He said, go on, mess with the preacher a while. Leave me alone. Listen to me. when everything is going wrong at home, I still got a song in my heart. Though my flesh may be ill, though my flesh may be weak, honey, I'm telling you tonight, I love the Lord. And I'll say this, there's a song of joy and a song of praise that remains in my heart. Honey, I'm telling you, water leak ain't going to change whether I'll serve Him. The sniffles ain't going to change whether I'll serve Him. But honey, I'll tell you this, He's been too good to back up now. Joshua served Him in the later days of his life. Preacher, what are you getting at? No doubt, listen to me. No doubt Joshua had some things he wished he had done differently. But what I can say this, you can see God's hand on him throughout Scripture. Go with me, turn real quickly back over into the early part of Joshua tonight. We're going to be done here in just a minute. Joshua chapter number 10. Listen to me, I want to tell you what kind of mountain mover Joshua was. He was serious in his relationship. You say, preacher, you ought to preach this on Sunday morning. Maybe you ought to tell somebody they ought to listen to it. Preacher, you ought to preach this on a Sunday morning in the middle of service. Maybe you could get their attention. Listen to me, if God can't get their attention, Brother Melvin, I sure can't. If God can't get them to answer and get them to do what's right, Miss Geraldine, ain't nothing I can do about them, honey. But I want you to see what kind of man Joshua was. The Bible teaches us in Joshua chapter number 10 and verse number 8. The Bible teaches us that Joshua said, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand, for there shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way, and goeth to Beth-Haran, and smote them, and Azekiah, and Machadah. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth-Haran, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekiah, and they died. There were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with a sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still unto Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal. But these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Machadah. And it was told Joshua, saying, The five kings are found hid in a cave at Machadah. And Joshua said, Roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave, and set my men by it for to keep them. And stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies, and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into the cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand. And it came to pass, when Joshua and children of Israel had made an end of a slaying them with very great slaughter, till they were consumed, and that they that the rest which remained of them entered into the fenced cities. And all the people returned to the camp, Joshua and Machadah, in peace, and none moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then said Joshua, Open the mouth of the cave, and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so, and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave. The king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass, when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the captains of the men of war, which went with him, Come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. You know what Joshua said? He said, What do I fear? What do I worry? He said, God in heaven's on my side. He said, Don't let me stumble. Don't let me fall. He said, God's hand's been on me. But I want you to notice what happened in verse number 14. The Bible said, and there was no day like that day before it or after it. Why was it a day like that, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man? You know why Joshua was a mountain mover? I'll tell you why he's a mountain mover. He had God's ear. He had God's ear. Brother Odin, I could go out there to the sun and tell it not to set. Boy, I could believe it. But I've got so much it separates where I need to be with God. Can you imagine the relationship of how close Joshua was to God? That he said, Son, stand thou still. And moon, you stay over there. Some would say, oh, preacher, it was the time of the year, the equinox, where the days got longer and nights got shorter. I say that's hogwash. I say a man on this side of glory believed that much in God that when he was doing God's will, listen to me, when Brother Chuck, he was doing God's will with the way God wanted him to do it, that he could control the orbit of the planets and the sun. Listen to me. Joshua was a man of God. If he could speak to the sun and cause it to be still, don't you reckon he could say to that mountain, be thou moved? And that mountain would be moved? Don't you reckon he could speak and the ground could quake with God on him? You know what we need in our churches? We need some Joshuas. I found this interesting, and I'm done. Remember, I got to go home and fix a water leak. Listen to me. I found studying the name Joshua. My mama told me when I was growing up, she said, I named you Joshua because you was a man of war. Listen to me. I don't know why, if it's the name or just who I am. If there's a problem, I'll lock horns with you and go toe-to-toe. It don't matter if we're at work. Rusty's seen it at work. If it's something I don't agree with and something I think's wrong, we'll lock up and we'll go around. You say, preacher, a pastor is not to be a brawler. Smack me and find out what happens to you. Smack my wife and she'll whoop you. Listen to me. Hit my daughter and find out what happens. And hit my mom and daddy and you'll find out what happens. Listen to me. I think, listen, and this is my honest opinion. When I studied the name of Joshua, I found out he was a man of war. He was a warrior. He was a fighter. And when I got to thinking about that, and I'm done, the reason Joshua stayed faithful all those years, because he was willing to fight. He wasn't willing to change. Listen to me, the flesh will sometimes say, oh, you ought to just stay home. But he was willing to say, you know what, I'll do what's right. No matter what it is, if it's what God said, I'm going to do it. Can I say this to you tonight? We need some men like Caleb that says, you know what, I'm not giving up the fight. We need some folks like Rahab that's just hanging on by a thread, that says, God, I'll just believe in you. I'll just put my faith on the line. God, I believe you. But we need some people that will deep down say, I'll fight. I'll fight for the Word of God. I'll fight for the spiritual things. I'll fight to stay faithful. No matter what comes my way, He's a good God, and I'm going to try my best to do what He wants me to do. I'll stay faithful. But you know what, Brother Chuck? It's got to be in here. But it's got to be a mindset every day we wake up. I'll do what the Lord wants me to do. You know, some days I wake up, y'all ain't going to believe this. Some days I wake up, Brother Kenny, and I say, I ain't going to work today. I ain't doing it. I ain't going to go to work. You know what? Today was one of those days I thought, you know what? I ain't going to work. I'll just tell you about my day. I got up and had a water leak. That's just irritating. Went to Lowe's. Got the stuff. Got halfway down 77. And Anna says, I've got to go. I said, why have you got to go? She said, Mama's trying to call me. She said, all I know is she couldn't find Riley. Now, Riley's about 3 pounds. I ain't never paid that much for 3 pounds in my life. It's an expensive little dog. And we love that little dog at our house. Said, Mama can't find the dog. Don't know where the dog's at. Brother Chuck, I don't know how that 3-pound dog, but it escaped this morning in the pouring down rain. Brother Kenny, it was gone. Somehow when Patsy came into the house to stay with Brooklyn, she darted out in the middle of that monsoon and she was gone. You say, what happened? I was kind of upset, but I thought it was funny. You say, why is that? I could only imagine my mother-in-law running around in the rain trying to catch that dog. Anna had to come back home. Finally, Patsy got her hemmed up at Miss Joanne Luffman's house next to it and brought her back in. Didn't have water. Dogs escaped. Mother-in-law's drowned. Kitty ain't said a word. He's just smiling. Rusty's just a-grinning tonight. He's saying, praise the Lord, she ain't with me. I can't talk about my wife's mom. She ain't with me, but I'll smile. Got to work. Everything didn't go the way I thought it ought to go. Frustration, stuff that should have been done by somebody above me should have been, didn't get done. Messed up everything. Got calls where you're supposed to ship this. Well, the stuff above me didn't do their stuff, so I can't do my stuff. Say what? Come home and got to working on the water heater and changing the lines and the fittings. And Brother Don turned the water on, plugged her in. She turned the propane back on. It lights up. Guess what? Right up above where I just been working, it starts spraying out at me. He'll say, what'd you do? I said, well, glory to the Lord. I'm going to get a shower and I'm going to come back, turn it off. I'm going to church and I'll deal with it when I get home. You say, well, what happened? I had all my notes, listen to me, all my notes tonight are on that Microsoft Surface sitting at my desk. Didn't have time to print it. It decided it wanted to update tonight when I got to church and I needed it the most. It's sitting in there right now on 87% updates. Why did it decide to update at the church? I don't know. She said, preacher, what did you do? I said, I'm going to go preach anyways. We'll cuff it, we'll wing it, we'll do whatever, but we'll do what the Lord wants us to do. Say, preacher, are you upset? No, I'm blessed. I'm just thankful I got hot water. You know, I ain't figured out these people that have a hot water heater. If you got hot water, what do you need a water heater for? Some of y'all ain't caught that yet. Well, how do you got a hot water heater? If you got a water heater to heat the water, why you got hot water to heat the water for? He's confused. Somebody help that man. Think about how you say it. I got a water heater to heat the water. But if I got hot water, I don't need a heater. If you got hot water, what'd you need a heater for? I'm just thankful to have some of y'all confused. I done lost y'all. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's stand to our feet. I love you tonight, amen, but I'll say this, we're blessed. He's a God worth serving.